So onboarding is make or break to your client having success in your program. It is the make or break to your retention inside of your program. And onboarding is not a one-time event.
You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 377. And today you're going to discover the secret weapon behind multi-million dollar businesses with high client retention. You ready for this? Let's get started. Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Get ready to ramp up your revenue, amplify your impact, and make your mark in the world. This is the show for experts, thought leaders, and service professionals who want to shatter their limits and achieve that next level. You're going to find out from other experts and influencers how they made it. Now, let's get amplified. Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson, authority amplifier and possible igniter for expert-based entrepreneurs ready to enjoy 5 and 6-figure months by making a greater impact. And today I have a guest joining us, and I'm really excited to share this guest. She has such a profound knowledge base, and she's the secret weapon behind many multi-million dollar businesses that hang their hat on client retention and repeat business. I mean, this is a real life, like this is what's working right now. She's got a very simple technique, and she's going to share how it works. Now, to me, when you have high client retention, it means you know how to bring value and you know how to help people integrate what it is that you teach, what it is that your wisdom is, in a way that provides profound transformation. So whether you consider yourself a thought leader or you're a coach, you're a consultant, you train, whatever your modality is, I think we oftentimes get caught up in the client attraction. And then we don't necessarily have the knowledge or the bandwidth for client retention. As a matter of fact, I worked with a very well-known training team many years ago, like 15 years ago, and they were so good at marketing and sales. They were enrolling people like crazy. Like they had thousands and thousands of people in their programs. And they quickly not only like leapt out of 6 figures into 7 figures, but they found themselves in massive overwhelm because they were really good at the attraction, but they hadn't worked out all the inner workings of their business model to keep the clients happy, to make sure they were delivering top experiences, to be able to retain those clients and basically provide a path for them to continue to work through the methods that they taught. And it was providing massive frustration for them. And so I want you just to keep in mind as you're looking at where your focus needs to be this year is client attraction is important. You must get really good at the profitable visibility to be able to, stand out in a crowded market. I think that's more important now than ever before. But you also need to know how to keep them happy and to keep them like referring you business and, you know, you want them to be raving fans, right? So my $1 million visibility strategy is how you bring them in, but you have to have you have to have a very powerful offer. You have to have a value-driven experience to keep them there. And so today's guest is going to blow your mind with her process. I want you to take really good notes. You're probably going to want to get access to her training that she offers. But I also want you to think about how you're going to put all the puzzle pieces together. And so if you do not yet have my $1 million visibility framework, or you haven't experienced how to generate $1 million visibility masterclass, put that on your radar. Go download it right now. You're going to get an invitation to join me in the masterclass. It's coming up real soon. And let's make sure that you have all the puzzle pieces working together. So you're attracting those premium clients as well as retaining them with today's guest's really powerful strategy. Okay, so melaniebenson.com/masterclass to get the masterclass directly if you already have the downloadable PDF framework. And if you don't have that yet, go right now to amplifywithmelanie.com and download the free 7-step framework. And make a commitment to focus on one of those areas and improve it massively in the next 90 days. Okay, now let's get into today's episode. Welcome back, Amplifiers. Today, we are going to dig into client experience and how to up-level the client experience to retain more of your amazing clients. This is a conversation I have been wanting to have for so long. I feel so excited. I don't feel excited. I am excited that we have Megan Huber joining us today. Now, she is the host of Made to Last podcast, and she's such an interesting role on this planet. She partners with established high growth online coaching and education based business owners to increase client results, retention, and revenue. So they have greater profitability, they're scaling, and their businesses are sustainable. Now, she brings 19 years experience from all these really diverse, interesting backgrounds: public education, athletic coaching, curriculum development, client success management, group coaching, and of course, entrepreneurship, to support leaders and teams to elevate their client experience and resulting in greater profitability and growth at scale. Megan, you know, I have been pestering you in the DMs for quite some time to come join us in this conversation. Thank you for being here today. I know you've been on the road a lot lately.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I have been on the road a lot lately since beginning of November last year. So for the last 3 months, I think I have been traveling more weeks than I have been at home. So
yeah,
but it's all fun. It's so fun. It's so fun to connect and meet new people. I love it.
Yeah, it is fun. And I'm such a hermit these days. Like, I used to be on the road all the time. So now I live vicariously through my connections and my friends who post all their great pictures on Facebook. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to live vicariously through Megan this week. So thank you for sharing your journey. Well, I want to start with a little bit of just kind of setting a foundation for the conversation. And you know, let's paint the picture of what does it mean to have client experience that is like really focused on generating client results, client successes. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. You know, I'm a very big believer in, you know, the place that we have found ourselves, I think, in the marketplace and history, that client experience really is almost like the last standing way for us to differentiate ourselves and differentiate our companies and our brand. Because people have very high expectations when they are buying a service. And I predominantly have always worked in my entrepreneurial career in the coaching and education space. So a lot of the conversation, a lot of my responses, it's going to be really geared towards people who are in the coaching space, the online education space, people who are working with large, you know, small, medium, or large groups of people at one time, whether that's a group coaching program, a certification, a mastermind, high touch, high end course. And it really does start with marketing in a way, because who you're speaking to and your messaging and your positioning and your marketing, it's really driving the people who are joining your program. And, you know, client experience really begins with, are we attracting and inviting the right people into our programs who already meet certain sets of criteria such that they have a fighting chance to be successful in the program that we have designed. And they have a chance to actually get the results that we are promising in our program. So it really is this whole journey that kind of starts with marketing, because we want to make sure we're even attracting the right people. And then the handoff really goes to sales and what's the experience that the person is having at the sales conversation? Are they having an experience that feels a certain way to them? You know, so much of the experience is, how are we making our clients feel? And what are the psychological points and phases and stages that they're actually going through from the sales conversation to the handoff to the team that's going to usher and welcome them into the program, to the curriculum in the program, to all the little touch points. When that timeline, our clients, you know, all of us are clients, we all buy things as well. They are going through so many different psychological phases in very rapid succession. And that starts from the minute they sit on the sales call, they make a decision to join, they go through another psychological phase within 24 hours of that, they go into another psychological phase 48 hours after that, and then they continue to go through psychological phases throughout the program until they get to the very end. And it's really a service provider's understanding that and acknowledging that, and then ensuring that we know what our clients are experiencing mentally and emotionally and even spiritually throughout that journey. And it's making sure that to a degree, we're personalizing it, we're customizing it. And again, we're really ushering them through the whole entire process, start to finish.
Yeah. I first of all, I really want to acknowledge bringing this to the starting in marketing is brilliant, because it's true. Like, if we're not attracting and we're not like filtering out people who can't get great results, then we can't expect our clients to have a great experience. And being in business 23 years, I've certainly had a few people get through the curtain, so to speak, that were not necessarily going to get great results. And yeah, it's definitely something we've leaned on more and more and more. Fix the marketing, fix the positioning, fix the, or optimize, I should say, the sales process, so that we say yes to the people who have the best possible chance. So some of that starting before they ever have, you know, get into the other side. And then some of it is like, how do we take care of them once they come in? And what is the ecosystem or the infrastructure that supports them to have the best results when they are a yes? So I'm curious, with all of your years of experience and the amazing clients that you're working with, are there a couple of like tried and true, like make sure you're doing this, make sure you're avoiding that, that really help guarantee, I don't want to say guarantee, but up your chances of your clients having their best possible experience once they're a yes?
Yes. So the first thing that comes to mind, which is the first thing that they're experiencing as soon as they say yes, you are kicking off the onboarding process. And I am such a fan of an onboarding process. We could do episodes and episodes just about onboarding. I could teach programs just on the onboarding process. So onboarding is make or break to your client having success in your program. It is the make or break to your retention inside of your program. And onboarding is not a one-time event. It is not just, let's have an orientation call with everybody who just joined the program for 60 minutes. Onboarding has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. And I think we really do exist in this day and age where that onboarding process, however long it is for your program, we really do have to hold the hand of our clients to get them through the first few weeks so that they are generating some kind of meaty win early on. And we really are helping them get on board with how we do things here and how we are teaching you to generate success in whatever category we're teaching you, whether it's wealth, health, relationships, mindset, whatever that is. So the onboarding process is critical, and it kicks off as soon as your credit card goes through and that salesperson transitions the conversation into what is it going to look like next. So onboarding, you know, I always say onboarding doesn't really end until your client hits that first success milestone, whatever that is. So it's why I say it's not like onboarding is 4 weeks or 2 weeks or 2 months. It really just depends on your program. It depends on your service. It depends on the length of your program and service. It depends on the success milestones that you have mapped out for your clients to achieve throughout the whole entire program. So onboarding is really important. And I might just kind of sit on this onboarding topic because there are so many important elements to the onboarding process. So the second thing that I feel very strongly about, and anytime I go into a company and do consulting for them, I always help them create client growth plans. Most business owners and coaches do not have them. They've never heard of them, and they have no idea what a client growth plan is. Client growth plans really originated in the tech industry in the 90s, And I have literally bought and read and studied every research article I can find on it, every book I can find on the topic. And the majority of it has been written by Salesforce, which is a multi-billion dollar company. And I know some people who work at Salesforce, and they're like, yep, every single client that comes in, everybody has a client growth plan. Even across departments and members of teams, if they're working on a project together, they have their own growth plan with that. And it works. It's why we're a multi-billion dollar company. So growth plans are really, really important, and they should be mutual. This is something, and it's very, very simple. In a coaching program, you're finding out what are the client's goals, what are their challenges, what are their opportunities, what support and resources do they need, what are their next action steps, and what's the timeline of their individual success milestones? Because just because you have 50 or 500 or 5,000 people joining your program, not everybody is going to be on the same pace, and not everybody is going to hit success milestones at the same point. So client growth plans are so important to help your clients stay focused, know what's next for them, and to also track their progress. And then it's so important that anybody on your team has access to the client growth plans, because now we're mutually walking with each other to figure out, okay, when am I meeting the goals that I had on my original client growth plan? And when I do, usually about, you know, a couple of months in, we need to go create another growth plan for the next sprint or the next success milestone inside the program. So the onboarding process is more than just an event. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it really should be designed to steward your clients to get their very first result. Once they get it, you know that you can transition into the next phase of the program, which is no longer onboarding. And then client growth plans, it is a game changer for your clients. It's a game changer for you and your team. It will drastically increase the results that your clients are seeing, because they're focused, they have direction, and they can more easily track their progress. And then you and your team can really identify, how do we need to maybe make some new decisions about our program? Where do we need to make some shifts and an improvement in our program so that we can better serve them? Where do we need to add some additional value based on what we're seeing from the client growth plans? And it really just, it gets you out of the dark. I think in this industry, and I know that you've been around for a long time, you know what I'm talking about. We have so many leaders that are getting very frustrated and angry because they have adult clients that are not showing up and doing the work. Well, we have to establish an environment where they can actually show up, feel supported, feel seen, feel heard. Yes, they are responsible for taking the action, but it is our responsibility as the leader and the guide and the coach to create an environment and an atmosphere where they want to be there, and that is actually possible for them.
So many gems you just dropped in that information. And I love that you're covering this idea that we have to take ownership of creating a space where they want to show up and they can like do the work. And I mean, there's just so many ways to do that, right? And I could go on a segue here, but I'm not. I'm going to stick with you for a second, because I just all of a sudden my brain starts going to all the ways in which coaches and mentors and people with coaching programs disenchant their community and not even realizing what's happening. So I guess one of the things I want to just kind of go a little bit deeper before we leave this conversation is you're talking about giving them a space to stay connected to their growth plan. And I mean, there's so much technology out there. I'm assuming that technology can be one way to do that. But what's the simplest way, without giving away all of your secret sauce, but what is one way that somebody could do that with their client that would be really meaningful for the client?
You know, every business owner and company has to decide what's going to work best for them. And it's largely due to the bandwidth of the team. Mm-hmm. I was just having a conversation the other day with a company. They have thousands of students. They do upwards of $35 to $40 million a year in revenue. And it's a coaching program that historically in the past, it costs about $10,000. And now it costs about $20,000. And Usually with companies, the last department that they do a lot of hiring in is client success. This particular company last year in May, so they had already reached $35 million in annual sales. At that point, they started building a client success department. And so they hired a client success director who then began to build out a client success team. So fast forward, we were having a conversation last week. They have a new offer that is a lower ticket offer instead of just the 20K because they got to 40 million just on the 10K/20K offer. So they have this new offer that's a bit lower ticket than that. And it's a 6-month program, but there is this kind of 6-week foundations kind of portion of the program that then ends with this culmination of a 3-day virtual event. And then they have, you know, 4.5, 5 more months left. And so we were restructuring their onboarding process so that it's super robust, because the idea is that those people then buy the $20,000 offer. And so we really want to hold their hand in that first 5 weeks. And so some of the suggestions I was making, they were coming back and saying, you know, we kind of hit capacity with 200 people buying this lower end offer, which is what they're at right now. And if we go over 200 people, we don't have the staff to do any of this in a one-on-one capacity. And so the ultimate, I'll give options. The ultimate ideal is that you actually have a one-on-one conversation, which is a one-on-one onboarding call. And the purpose of the onboarding call that's one-on-one is not to talk about logistics of the program and where to find the portal and what days the calls are and the Zoom links. You can do that in so many other ways. Purpose of it is to have a mutual conversation to create a mutual growth plan where you've got a coach who's asking questions, and either one of you can have a document open and you're, you know, typing it up and you're filling it out. And then that is saved somewhere in some sort of database. If you don't want to be fancy, it could go into a Google folder. So the ultimate ideal, if your staff can handle it, or you don't have such high volume of numbers, have a one-on-one call. That's the ideal. Let's say you can't do that. The next level, I just did this with a company 2 weeks ago when I was out in California. We built out this whole structure for client growth plans and weekly progress checks. And we created, or the team created, individual folders in Google Drive for each client. And inside of that folder, we created, it's in a Google Sheet, it's in like a Google spreadsheet, but it looks really nice and really pretty. And it's not just like a bunch of tiny little cells. We built out this really gorgeous client growth plan for each quarter of the year. And the client goes in and the client fills it out. They type it out. Now, what we did at their in-person retreat is we had printable copies and we walked them through the process, and right there on the spot with the team in the room, they filled out their client growth plan on paper, and then it was on them to transfer it to the digital. Now the team has access to that because it's a shared document. So we can go in and we can check and we can see what their growth plan says. And if something is really jumping out to us, it's not hard to send somebody a quick message and say, hey, what about this? What about that? And then every other week, again, this is so simple, you can have Google Sheets for progress check-ins, whether it's weekly or biweekly, that your client is going into, you remind them to fill it out, and now you're comparing that to what they said they wanted to achieve in the client growth plan and the timeline they wanted to achieve it in. So it can be so basic. You do not even have to pay for Google Docs and Google Drive. It's totally free. And if you want to use something like Go High Level or some other platform or software you pay for, where clients are still going in and they're filling things out, you can do that, but you absolutely don't have to. And even with Google Sheets, it's pretty scalable. I mean, you do have to have a manual person create them initially and then share them. But, you know, with 50 to 100 clients, it would take a team member 1 hour, because I've seen it and I've done it, 1 hour to make sure each one of the clients gets that. But you could also have a group call. You know, if you don't have the bandwidth for that, and you're like, you can have a group call where everybody's there and you walk them through it, takes about 30 minutes to an hour, and then your team has access to it and they can review it anytime.
Man, that was awesome. And it's interesting you're talking, this is true. I introduced a new program last year, kind of a redo of something I'd been doing for like 5 years. And that's what we did, is we created that, what you're talking about, that client success plan. And we're using a Google Sheet and it's working brilliantly. And what I love, and so just to kind of recap some of the highlights of what you're saying. So as you're listening in, if you're like just you, and you maybe have a VA, or you're a company of hundreds of thousands of clients and moving parts, like you can scale this up, scale this down. You need a focus for where your client success plan lives. You need to have a conversation, an onboarding conversation with the what it is that you're tracking them to. And you need a system to house it. It's not just for the initial, but how are you going to come back to it over and over and over again? And the last piece, which you didn't actually use this word, but I believe this is what you mean, is accountability. How are you going to have some accountability? And let me tell you, my friend, if you're listening in and you're like, it's just me, if there's no better reason to hire help is to get someone to do the accountability with you, because it is a lot to keep track of when you're doing all the other things in your business. Did I miss any of the highlights there, Megan?
No. And look, and I get it. Some people are on their own, but I would share this. If anyone is on their own, you probably don't have hundreds of clients. You probably don't have hundreds or thousands of clients. If you're on your own, you probably have less than 50 clients. And, you know, I'm never going to tell people don't go market, don't go sell. But, you know, when I started working with companies that were doing high seven and multiple eight figures, the thing that is causing companies to almost be on the edge of implosion and shutting down their doors is that they did not focus on client success and client experience soon enough. And their clients are not retaining and their clients are not referring. Yes. Because they're just solely focused on, I've got to get more people in the door. I've got to get more people in the door. But if your bucket has holes on the bottom and you pour in a lot of clients, it doesn't matter how big of a lead acquisition machine you have, those clients are going to exit. And when your company reaches a certain point, retention and the success of your clients and the experience they're having and the feeling they have about you and your brand once they're inside, that is what leads to your profitability. So one of the most important places, whether you're solo or you're not solo, is the success of your clients, because they become the most important asset in your whole entire business. I would say, like, beside your team, once you get to a team, your team is your greatest asset, and then it's your clients.
Yeah. So a great place to start is the onboarding side of things and really tighten that up before you try and go grow it. I could share a bazillion stories of clients who were just massively good at marketing and sales and so bad at this part. And they were burned out. They were overwhelmed. They're working 14-hour days. And the business was kind of imploding because they didn't have this infrastructure in place. So this is a really important piece. I want to talk about retention. I learned something many years ago, I'm sure you know something similar, is that the retention of a client is like, it's like the sales and marketing is like more like 9 times more costly than retaining the clients you already have. So there was some kind of stat like that. And yet I think so many people are clueless when it comes to how to retain clients. So obviously client onboarding is going to be a big part of it, but sir, any other piece of retention that you want to bring to our awareness, and that is there make or break around that?
Yeah. There's a few things which I do believe starts, again, it does start at the marketing and sales level. I was asked this question a couple of weeks ago. I was doing a bonus training inside of someone else's program, and the lady that asked the question said, I have this one particular offer, and she's in PR and media. The offer was a 3-hour, like half day VIP experience. And she said, the problem is, because I was in there talking about retention, she goes, but my problem is they don't do anything with me after that. And so I asked her a few questions and I said, well, how are you setting up what you do with people at the messaging and positioning and then sales level? And I said, and so that was one question. My other question is, I said, to be sure, I was like, if I hired you, there's no way that just from a 3-hour intensive, I'm going to be able to go out and get media opportunities and TV opportunities and not make mistakes and not need improvement and not need you to do like a lot of things with me over a period of time. And I said, walk me through like, what would the phases of that look like? And so I shared with her at the level of marketing and sales, you want to go ahead and seed to your audience what the phases and stages are of working with you. And if it starts with a 3-hour intensive to cover XYZ and get ABC result, awesome. And then phase two looks like this. And phase three looks like this. It's just like when we go in and we get a big consulting client, they have to invest in an audit with us first. Then they have to invest again in working with us longer term. But we set that up right out of the gate. So they know going in, this is phase one, this is phase two, this is phase three. So that when they're done with phase one, they're already expecting to have a conversation to continue working with you. So that's one thing to do. The other thing that's so important, we've already talked about results. So obviously, if people aren't getting results in your program, why are they going to renew, right? So that's that. The other thing that is so important, let's assume your clients are getting results. Results alone is usually not enough for people to stay. What really makes people stay is community. And I think that more than ever, from even your free community audience that you are building, community and building connection is critical to continue selling. And then inside your program, it's becoming more of a facilitator of connection, collaboration, and support and developing friendships among the people in your community. Because I will say this as women, there are a lot of women joining programs. And one of the top two things on their list, yes, we all want results, is they want friends. And I know sometimes there's a big joke like, oh, you know, you're buying $30,000 to $50,000 mastermind programs and you're just buying friends. Well, I'm here to tell you, listeners, there are a lot of women that is like top two core values on their list when they invest in a program. And what makes them decide to stay is if they feel a sense of belongingness. But that does not occur by itself unless the leader is facilitating that in the way that they are structuring every element of the program. So community is key. And then the third thing, which you mentioned this word, it's accountability. And I think sometimes as adults, we think the word accountability is so elementary and it's for children. And that because we're responsible adults, we shouldn't need accountability. I've also heard leaders sometimes say, well, my clients are really, really high end. They don't want accountability. They don't need accountability. And they are just way too successful. That's just not something they need. I interview a lot of people's clients, current clients and clients who did not renew when we go in and do consulting. And that is one of the top three things they say was not there. And it's one of the reasons why they didn't renew. It was everything I already said, didn't get the results. So I don't have the money to renew. The community was not there for me, even though we have a Facebook group, even though there's hundreds of people in the group, community wasn't there. And number three is there was either no accountability or whatever accountability structures there were, the clients were submitting things, they were submitting progress, but the team never ever brought it up one time or mentioned anything that they were submitting. And I have interviewed people that make millions of dollars and they're in programs that cost $75,000. And I still hear the same thing, whether client paid $5,000 or $75,000 to be in a program. They all say the same thing.
I was going to ask you if you've noticed a difference in terms of the client retention, the client experience, if it matters, like if they're investing, you know, a small amount or if they're investing a significant amount up in the multiple 5 and 6 figures. And it sounds like there's kind of like the same desire, even though they probably are very successful. Being accountable to what they say they want. It almost feels like they want to be seen and they want to be noticed, especially when you're investing a lot of money.
Yeah, especially then. But no, there's really no difference on the core things people want: results, community, accountability. It's that. That's what they want at every level. That's what everybody wants.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought the community part in, because I know that's been something that's kept people in my programs for 5 or 6 years. Even though they may have changed directions, they don't want to leave the community. So I've seen that firsthand as well. Oh my gosh, we could do like a 3-hour masterclass. There's so many amazing like insights that you have to bring to this, and I know you have some resources that will help people go deeper into this. I just want to take a minute to highlight this 5-part series that you've recently opened up and how to access that, because I know people are going to start thinking, okay, like I really need to up my game around this. Like, what do I do next? You know, what's the path? What's the, you know, everything involved? Could you just share what that 5-part series is about and how, and we'll tell them how to link it up, I guess.
Yeah, the 5-part series is called Group Coaching Mastery, and it is not about how do I launch and sell my group program. It really is how do I create it, structure it, what's the framework around the group, how do I really build community, how do I become a better group facilitator so that it is leading to clients are getting results and clients are staying longer term, whether they're staying in that program or they're staying in your ecosystem and they're buying something else. So it really is helping you know how to better deliver a superior client experience when you are working with groups of adults.
Yeah, so results, retention, and we didn't talk about, but I know is embedded in that, referrals. Because,
yes,
you know, we want our clients to be raving fans to the degree that they're sending some of their friends and people, you know, back to you. And I think that really understanding how to structure the experience well and create a good client experience is how you master that. So yeah, we will link that up in, oh, sorry, let me just tell everybody, we'll link that up in the show notes. It's a longer link. And so wherever you're listening to this, if you go down in the show notes to where it says resources, you'll see a link to Megan's 5-part series, and that's where you can access it immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say also, because we've talked so much about the beginning of a program, because the beginning really does matter, and you brought up referrals. A lot of folks think that they have to wait until their clients' contracts are coming to an end to ask for referrals, and you can ask for referrals during the onboarding process. So as soon as your client is achieving a win or a success, that's the first time that you want to start asking them for a referral. So do not wait until the end, because if you're waiting to the end, you have too many people who are probably unhappy by then, and you're not going to change their mind. You know, again, like we've worked with a company that had thousands of students. They were at 2% retention, and out of over 4,000 students, only 6 students were actually bringing in referrals. Now, that company could probably get to 100 million in 1 year, 2 years, if they would just capitalize on this conversation that we've had and tap into referrals. So you do not have to wait to ask for referrals. You need to have it in your, honestly, like marketing to your own students to know exactly when to ask for referrals. And that can happen in the first few weeks of them being in the program.
Wow. I love that. You're painting a picture of possibility that is exhilarating for so many people. And I've had a couple of my own little gaps like revealed today, and I can't wait to go back and go through this again and listen, because I think there are simple things we can do to create extraordinary client experiences that do exactly what you're talking about. Get the results, get the referrals, and get the retention in place. So thank you for painting this picture. Megan, this is one of my favorite parts in the conversation, where we want to get to know the human Megan a little bit more. You're obviously a badass in business, but I also know, you know, there's probably some really big decisions you had to make, some bold moves, some scary things that you probably had to wrap your head around to get where you are today. I'm assuming that, but what would you say is the boldest thing you did to get where you are right now in business?
Oh gosh, the boldest has to be the first decision. I was a high school business education teacher in my hometown at the high school I graduated from, and my mother taught in the classroom beside me. And so that's what I did in my 20s. And my mom was a career educator and a principal, and I was very much on the same track. In fact, I was seriously considering going into a principal fellows program and then becoming a principal. And then who knows where I would have gone from there. I was creating a career in education. And that was really the vision for, I think, for my life from my parents as well. Not so much my dad, but when you kind of break that invisible contract with a parent who had a particular vision for you, it is devastating to them. So when I actually left the classroom when we had our daughter, Brighton, 13 years ago, and didn't go back and didn't have a plan, didn't grow up in an entrepreneurial home. And when I left, I didn't think, you know, it wasn't a premeditated decision that I'm going to leave to start a business and I know what kind of business it is. But that was, you know, that is, was the catalyst for why I'm even doing what I'm doing today. So I would say leaving what a lot of people thought I was going to do forever in a very, I mean, I grew up in a town with 2,000 people, it was very small. I had to break that or else none of this would have happened.
That is profound on so many levels. Because what I heard you say is I had to walk away from everything I knew, what was planned for me. And as you, I love that word, that invisible contract with your parent, in order to allow space for this thing that I do now, which I would imagine is very fulfilling. You're obviously very successful at it. And you couldn't see what emerged until you let go of something that you were locked into. I hope as you're listening in, you take that in deeply, because that is powerful, transformative thinking right there, is you can't always see what's supposed to emerge while you're in the thing you're not going to keep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I got chills. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Last question. What's one thing that you wish you would have done sooner now that you know how powerful and how, what a catalyst it was going to be for your business?
What would I have done sooner? So this is something that has like really come into my awareness very recently. So this is fresh. Yeah. I've been successful and that's true. And something that I noticed recently, and this was actually in a coaching session with mindset coach, that I have been very inconsistent, but specifically when it comes to business, I've been very inconsistent with visibility and bigger exposure. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, you know, we're on a profound kick here now, Melanie. A lot of that, what I have uncovered is that I had this belief inside that if I am too visible or more, not too visible, more visible, and I have more exposure to more people, then it's an opportunity for more people to judge my true character and like the purity of my motives and my heart. And just the thought of that feels like I just want to go crawl in a hole and like get under the covers and never come out again. But I was not aware that, you know, we all like uncover different things. And for me, that was a thing, because then the conflict inside is, oh, well, for me to grow to the next level, I have to consistently show my face and I have to consistently share my voice and I can't go in and out, in and out. It's not like I haven't shown my face. It's not like I haven't shown my voice, but if I'm being really honest, I've done it in a very safe way. My entire, like the last 13 years, it's been a very safe way of that. And you do kind of, you plateau, your growth really does plateau as a business owner, and you make up reasons why, and all the reasons are very external. But basically it was like internally, I had this conflict of like, I knew where I wanted to go, but it was so high risk. It was so high risk to go where I was going, because now it opens up this opportunity to be judged, but to be wrongfully judged, and for my character to be wrongfully judged. Now I have no idea why. I have no idea where that came from, but I do know, I remember thinking that as a very, very small girl, probably the age of like 4, 5, 6 years old. So it is something that's been this filter. So I guess I wish I would have, you know, timing's everything, you know, looking back on it, but I wish I would have discovered that sooner and felt safer sooner than now, but no, now's better than never. Right.
Yeah. Well, the fact that you are willing to share that and to bring that into this conversation, you've probably just opened that safety net and that possibility for hundreds of people who feel exactly like you. We need leaders to be willing to be more transparent because we all have our stuff, right? We all have these little crevices that we go, oh, look at that little thing that I do that's holding me back. So thank you for sharing that. And I know a lot of the people that I work with in my program would say that's exactly why I didn't do it sooner too. So thank you for giving them a big permission slip.
You're welcome.
Megan, you're just exquisite. Thank you for bringing your brilliance to this conversation today. And I want to thank you for up-leveling the game around client experience across our industry. I think, as you said early on, if there's one thing we can do to stand out and to be a differentiator in the marketplace, it is to have amazing client experiences. So I'm so glad you're doing that work in the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in today, Amplifier. Be sure to join us right now in the Amplify Your Authority community at authorityamplifiers.com, and I'll share my 7 proven tips to be a highly paid expert that stands out in a crowded market. Plus, we're going to keep this conversation going, and I want to hear from you how you're going to amplify your authority and make a greater impact. Before you go, please take a minute to give our show and our guests some love over on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. Leave your full name, and I'll spotlight you and your authority on social media.